We have been studying the book of Jude, and it struck me that I didn't really set up the book right because Jude is talking to people who are guilty in varying degrees of rebellion against authority, of irreverence to the idea of God being, of Jesus being Lord. They were presumptuous and self-righteous in their dealings with the world. And there was a libertine spirit among many of the believers. It means just doing whatever. It's the opposite of being a disciple. Libertine means you're following your nose. And I mean, there is probably not another book in the Bible that is more applicable to today. The idea that we have so many people in the name of God, in the name of Christ, involved in political activity is, from God's perspective, rebellion against authority. The idea that we have so many people teaching that that greed is godliness is rebellion. The idea that, just think of the lifestyles of the Joyce Meyers and the Benny Hinns and the Copelands and the jillions of others who are just living these opulent lifestyles. No wonder everybody hates to read Jude. It's the least studied book in the New Testament, and there's no wonder why. I mean, think of what the setting of this was: the Roman Empire. And we've talked about it before, but there has never been a more oppressive empire in the history of the world. In terms of, it was submit or die. And yet, there's not one word against the Roman Empire. You know, we've talked about the idea that there wasn't just abortion then. If a newborn baby didn't meet some predetermined standards, they left it by the side of the road. And if somebody picked it up, fine. If not, fine. There were crucifixions that were just all over the place. But it wasn't... There was no rebellion against authority in the New Testament. That's an incredible concept. And the reason is that because we are not of this world, and God ordained the powers that be so that there would be submission on the part of the believers who are not of this, they're not of this world. We're in the world, but not of it. And it just makes me sad when I heard over the weekend all of the people that were in the name of God. So I heard an interview with Jerry Falwell, and it just made me cry because it sounds so right from the natural standpoint that you would want to, you know, do these things. And on the other side, you know, a few years ago, it was the liberal aspect of politics that was controlled by the church. So that's why when we studied in verse 9 of Jude, when we talked about the assumption of Moses and what that really means, that he didn't even... Here we have Michael the archangel and Satan disputing about the body of Moses, and Michael did not rebuke, did not judge down even Satan. He said, "The Lord correct thee." I don't know if it just was overwhelming to me. I was feeling very badly this weekend, so I couldn't do much other than just sort of watch religious television. Anybody have any response?
Well, yeah. Not, this may sound flip, but not flip, but when you were talking about how Christ didn't speak out against the Romans, I thought to myself, yeah, you know, God chose to be incarnated in a hellhole. And then I thought, yeah, because for me it would be a hellhole because there was no air conditioning. There were no cars, you know, they didn't have hot water, and blah, blah, blah. All the things that I would define as...
clean towels.
And he didn't... Again, I'm not being flipped. He didn't invent air conditioning or the internet or... I mean, he didn't do any of those things.
I heard this thing, Naomi Judd has set herself up...
Oh, God. She just makes...
And it was like amazing because she was using the same words... You know, we might use, but her whole conclusion was, you're a winner in God, and God wants you to be a winner. Like, totally twisted the result.
Well, anyway, where were we? Where did we stop? I don't even remember where we stopped. Yeah, but Michael the archangel, when contending with Moses, with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." We've talked about the word rebuke there is just the correct thee. And remember, he was, and this is the type that you, this is what you have to see. Satan rightly claimed that the body, the physical body of Moses, was his possession because it was of matter. It was of the senses, as opposed to being of spirit. And he said, "This is mine." And Jesus said the same thing when he was in the wilderness with a temptation. It says, Satan took him up on a high hill, and in a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the past, the present, and the future, all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "All this power and authority has been given over to me, and whosoever I will give it."
Satan said that.
Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't deny it. He didn't bring against him a railing accusation. What he said was, we just said it. We just
As
read it.
As a matter of fact, bringing a railing accusation would have empowered Satan.
He said what? "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou shalt worship or give breath to the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." What a thing.
Satan loves righteous indignation, I think.
One of those is in time, one is out of time. Worshiping God is out of time. In time.
One is spirit and one is flesh. But Satan has the rightful... God has given Satan the kingdoms of this world. They've been delivered over to him, their power and their glory, by God. So therefore, God is in control. I mean, can you really apprehend that? That's why we submit ourselves to all authority. Roger had a case this morning. Roger was sick. felt bad. And his supervisor, Roger said he wanted to go home. And the supervisor said, no, you can't. Now, fortunately, Roger beat the rap because of God's grace. But, I mean, under God, under Roger has to see that his boss is as Jesus Christ. You understand that, Roger? We have to see that that policeman or that rude driver, it's Jesus driving that car that cut in front of you. And then I know that your mind is going to think of some really wise-ass thing to say about this.
No, I agree with that. I think that changes. Really,
it changes the calculus of everything.
Judgmental about drivers. People, I just think they're idiots. And it's, if I can see if there's one thing going on, and I'm in submission to this.
The only thing that's going on is your sanctification.
I think that this is was a real opportunity to see this in this movie that opens Wednesday. It's another one of these extreme things that God does, where the best man that ever lived suffered the most outrageous, horrible persecution for no reason whatsoever, and did not raise himself up against it, didn't rail against it, submitted.
Well, in verse...
I want to say, we had this great analogy that was spoken this weekend or whatever about dogs. When you take a stick and chastise them or whatever, they bite the stick, like the stick's in you. And that just is everywhere, it seems. It's just like a driver. And just like I said, the driver is the stick, and you bite the stick. When in fact, it's God holding the driver.
Yeah, it's this thing up here, the two hand puppets, and one is saying to the other, sometimes I doubt the existence of the hand.
Yeah.
But do you believe that Jesus is Lord? It's easy to say that. Of course I believe Jesus is Lord. But you don't believe it with your actions. To believe it with your actions means that you see Him as everything is exactly as it should be. He wouldn't be Lord if it wasn't. He would be a failed Lord. He wouldn't be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He wouldn't have said it's finished. He wouldn't have said you've been perfected forever. And so this whole mystery produces what the world calls meekness. One of our listeners is having problems with his family, and he everybody went, well, what do I do? What shall I say? It just makes me crazy when anybody asks me that question. What are you laughing at, Jim? Now you, Ronnie. And I said to him, I said, the way, and this is, I remember the first time I said this to Buckner. I said, the way your wife responds to you is a revelation of how you are responding to God. And he was shut up forever. Because what it reveals is your unbelief. And the way you respond to authority is a revelation of how you're responding to God. And the way you respond to things not going your way is a way you responding to God. And each and every one of those instances is an opportunity for a deeper turning and leaving yourself behind. Not how, well, what should I say about this or what should I do about that? He tried to give me 15 examples of, well, what would happen if she said this? And then, and I was yelling on the phone at the top of my voice.
I might not remember if I heard you.
Yesterday. Yeah, I think you heard me.
I thought you was talking to Mark.
How did they get his phone number?
Well, can you see this is the mystery that produces the revelation of Christ? Every time you want to know what to do or what to say, then you're believing, you're saying to God that you have a form of godliness but deny His ability. Here we have Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. They were arguing against who owns the body. And Satan said, I own the body because it's matter. And Michael said, in this case, you're wrong, because Moses is a type of Messiah. What a statement.
He said that?
He didn't bring railing accusations. He didn't impugn the dignity even of Satan. But he said the Lord corrected. Railing accusations. It's Christ, Christus blasphemo. Railing blasphemy, because you're denying the foundation. The foundation is Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings. Everything is finished. It's exactly perfect. He did not bring railing accusations against Satan himself. He said, no, the Lord corrected.
The minute you bring a railing accusation, you've entered Satan's ground.
But these false teachers, these false believers, these that are masquerading as an angel of light, these speak evil. And again, speak evil is the word blaspheme, or a form of it, is used over and over. And remember, blaspheme is a technical word. It means to deny the foundation. These blaspheme of things they know not, the whole range of the invisible authority of God in His glory, but what they know naturally by the senses, episteme, as brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. By these they are brought to ruin, is what it says in the Greek. Don't live by what you can know by your senses. Never make judgments by what the way things appear to be. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are natural, but the things which are not seen are spiritual. And I promise you, with everything that I know about this mystery of God, everything is exactly perfect. Everything is exactly finished. He's only waiting for you to apprehend that. In every sphere of your activity, so that no matter what comes against you, you can testify honestly and with everything in you, no, it's finished. It's perfect. I don't need to lean on my own arm of understanding. I don't need to justify myself. Remember that incredible scripture. Jesus said, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knows your heart. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. If anything that you think is right is esteemed among the world, you know that it's a really, really, you're in deep, deep doo-doo.
Well, it's interesting when you, that point that you just made, when you make judgments based on your senses, it's as if rust has begun, the breakdown of who you are, your corruption. Destroying.
Yeah, because in it says in doing that you are brought to ruin.
Yeah.
In those things, that's those things and those judgments that you're making will cause your ruination.
That's that one about if you're offended by a brother, you fall from a strong city.
That's a good place to stop, but not to stop. That's a good place to stop. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Start in chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And faint means to quit in your mind, to let some other plan, some plan of action means you're quitting faith. But we have announced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Total transparency. Nothing hidden. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And how has he blinded them? By putting silver in the back of the glass. Silver is your own redemption, your own protection, your own definition of yourself. So wherever you look, you only see a reflection of you. What does this mean to me? Instead of wherever you look, with the silver taken off the glass, you look through the... You see the perfect image of Jesus Christ. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in broken earthen vessels. We have this treasure in, it literally means broken earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and never of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death. We which live are what? Always delivered unto death. This good friend of ours, Jeffrey Wise, found out last month, or this month, I guess, that he had lymphomatic cancer. And he wrote a column, a journal yesterday. And I told him in it, that I'm sorry I didn't have any, you know, positive aphorisms to say. But I told them that I know from experience, tried and tested experience, that the life without a life without suffering is not worth living. And I know that with everything in me. Now, all of you in here have suffered and are suffering. But don't despise the suffering. It's the mystery of God. And that's why these modern theology is so incredibly evil, because it discounts the suffering. It trivializes the suffering.
The thing I like most about the Melito of Sardi homily is that it uses talks about the one who suffers, the idea that Christ clothes himself with the one that suffers, and it's just his entire identity is with us in our suffering.
Amen. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Be careful when the railing accusations start in your mind. You know it's going to bring ruination to you. We're going to find out more in a minute that these are, they're called spots here. We'll study this tomorrow, but it's the only time this word for spots is used in the scriptures. And it doesn't mean like a spot or a blotch. It means a rock hidden below the water that sinks the ship. Anybody understand perfectly?
I understand the response to my own suffering, but when I see someone else suffering, I have compassion.
Amen.
I can't think in my mind that I can believe the suffering. All I can do is respond to it.
And try to meet the need.
Without the objective of relieving the suffering.
Well, it's just like everything else. What you do is never for an objective. You're doing it because it's there in front of you. Amen? Anybody else? Take a big guy.